living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36 is what we'll go through today. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you and know you're an answer to our prayers. We've been praying that you would come. If you've been out for the summer and you're back, you're not visiting, so don't listen to this part. You're still part. We're glad to see you back. But anyway, just there's cards in the seats, and we would like for you to fill those out and let us know that you were here. There's a basket out there in the lobby that you can fill out, put that card in, and some stuff to take home about the church. So if you do that, that'd be great. August 9th coming up in a few weeks, we're going to have a Streamer Sunday. So it's a good Sunday to invite people. I'm just going to spend the morning remembering why we're doing what we're doing, who we are, thank God for what He's done, and believe in Him for some things in the future. So we'll have some exciting stuff to talk about on that Sunday, so just keep that in mind. I want to thank all of you for all of the efforts that we've had for the Jubilee sale, from gathering to sorting to setup to the sale itself. It was really an awesome day yesterday. We think around 100 people came, and we think about 75% of the clothes we took here are gone now. They left for free. I told over 80 people that we're doing this. We give away everything because Jesus gave His life away for us freely, and that's how He loves us. And so people were just blown away again, you know, and there were some great stories. A mom was here with a foster kid who was in a charter school, and he has no way to buy clothes, and he got a whole new school wardrobe yesterday. There was a lady here came with her daughter, who her daughter was expecting to spend her babysitting money to get clothes for school because the husband's been out of work for 8 years. And she came and just was blessed to take home just a bunch of clothes. So just a few things that happened yesterday. And it was hot. So I'm kind of like physically half here, but the good half is here. And spiritually, you know, just very full. So thanks, everybody, for all your work through the last several weeks. And prayers, keep praying that the gospel seeds that we planted yesterday, as people put on the clothes and they see their wardrobes, pray that they'll remember why they were free. And that they'll, you know, it's really hard to convince people to receive. I mean, they want to pay. We had to hide the offering box. It was amazing. So it was just a good day. So thanks so much, everybody. And keep your prayers up for those folks. Every organization, really, every organization that exists has a vision and values and purpose, stated or not. But they all do. And successful companies will make sure that their employees know what those vision, values, and purposes are and give them instructions on how to carry them out. The fast food chain Chick-fil-A is one of those successful companies. I'm sure you're familiar with Chick-fil-A. They get awards all the time for their customer service and for their great food. I heard the other day that there was a drive-thru line that wrapped around a Chick-fil-A twice. I can't remember a time going to a Chick-fil-A that it wasn't busy. You know, it's just amazing. So they've got that customer service thing going on. So just last week, there was a story about Chick-fil-A customer service. This lady, Carrie Chisholm, found herself in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and she was searching for her wallet. And in the back seat was her son, young son, and he had a bad case of strep throat, which for this mom was kind of a relief because her son has a congenital heart disease that's very rare and isn't expected to live very long. And they spent that particular day at the emergency room trying to figure out why he had a rapid heartbeat and stomach pain and chest pains. And so strep throat was a relief. So here she is on this particular day, sitting at the drive-thru window, got the diagnosis of strep throat, and the son's like, I want ice cream from Chick-fil-A. So, you know, mom's like, yeah, we're going to get that. So there she is. She's searching for a wallet. She can't find her wallet. And it all just kind of comes crashing down on her right there, and she just bursts out in tears. Well, the server at the window sees this go on, and she turns around and says something to the manager, and then she turns back and says, it's on us today. Well, that story is just one story about how servers treat customers at Chick-fil-A. And it went viral on Facebook because Carrie chose to thank Chick-fil-A on Facebook. So there was like 15,000 people that read about that story. Where does that come from? I mean, there's over 1,900 Chick-fil-A's in our country. That's a directive from the top on how to treat people. On their website, Chick-fil-A's website, it says, for the past 66 years, we have built a foundational commitment to service. Service to our customers, service to our franchise restaurant owners and their team members, and service to our communities. This begins in the restaurant, one customer at a time. We firmly believe in treating every person who comes through our doors with honor, dignity, and respect. And we teach it to everyone who comes to work at Chick-fil-A, and it's something that they take with them for the rest of their careers. So that's what you call a top-down directive. And they're like, this is how we want you to treat people. Well, here in Luke, he has just begun to share with us Jesus' kingdom lessons. And we heard the Beatitudes last week, a series of blessings and woes, kind of a vision-casting message for the kingdom of God, the inside-outside, upside-down kingdom. And now we're going to get into some more teaching here, some directives. And these are history-making directives. And I'll tell you what, they've gone viral ever since Jesus spoke them. They are still today making history in people's lives. And sometimes they even make the headlines. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we'll read these challenging, unforgettable instructions for followers of Jesus. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you for these directives. Boy, it's a challenge. You can feel it already as we read through them. We ask that you would open our hearts to receive this today. Help us, Father, know how to follow these things in our lives. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So the first directive is in verses 27 to 30, show the love. It's a top-down directive from Jesus to his followers. Love your enemies. Now, I don't know about you, but I was thinking about it. In my life, it's hard for me to take the label enemy and put it on somebody. It doesn't sound very loving to do that. You know, and we don't live in a world right now, anyway, that there's someone waking up every day, or we're waking up every day to someone in another uniform coming at us trying to destroy our life. So, you know, we don't live in that kind of a world, at least yet. So how do we follow Jesus' directive? Who are these people that we're supposed to love? Well, Jesus just got done with his Beatitudes, describing a group of people to the group of people he was listening to. And in that, he told us who the enemies would be. People who hated them. People who spurned their name as evil. Who condemned them because they were following him. And so that was a blessing. He said, you're blessed when this happens to you. So in that blessing, he defines the enemy for us, even if they didn't know any of them yet. Now, a definition of the word enemy is a person who is actively opposed or against you. Against someone or something. A person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. So that's a definition of an enemy. So I thought, you know what that means? That means that your enemies are going to come from your circle of people that you know. They can certainly come from outside that circle, but if you think about it, I mean, it could be a friend. Or it could be your spouse, or a child, or a parent, or a bully. You know, I mean, just a neighbor, coworker. If someone rises up and is actively opposing or hostile to you in some way, they're your enemy. And so we've got to start there. Who are these people in our life? Now, in our current climate and culture, I really think that that is the place we're going to find, most likely that we're going to find an enemy come at us from the people that we know, the people in our circle of friends, family. And you know what Jesus is telling us to do? He's telling us to love them. He's calling us to love them. So the first step in carrying out Jesus' directive to show the love is to identify that you have an enemy. And then you start working at seeing them as not the enemy. And to love your enemy, you have to see that your enemy is not your enemy. Because if you don't do that, then you will just want to resist and retaliate them. And so think of the last person in your life who was actively against you, opposed to you. Can you think of that person? Who was that? That was your last enemy. Except they weren't your enemy. They were somebody Jesus wanted you to love. Now I realize there's nothing easy about what I just said. Nothing easy about that at all. I mean, if you can remember your last enemy, if you can put yourself back in that situation, or maybe you're in a situation right now where someone is against you, you know what I just said sounds pretty impossible. Sounds really, really difficult. But you know what? That's what makes it history-making. That's what makes it history-making. When we are able to do what Jesus calls us to do right here, it is an opportunity for God to do a lot of good in us and through us. So Jesus gives us some examples of how. How do we love our enemy? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If you get smacked in the face, don't smack back. Offer the other cheek. If they take your coat, offer them your shirt. If they take that without asking, don't ask for it back. There's a pretty good list of how to show the love. Now you might be thinking, wow, Jesus, that's a lot of love. Really? Are you serious about this kind of life? I'm afraid he is. This isn't just like poetic stuff here. This is boots on the ground. This is how I want you to live. And he showed us how to do it. That's the way he lived his life. Loving his enemies. And it's how he wants us to follow. So, in all of those things, we've got to realize that it's show the love. Okay? It's not feel the love or even say the love. It's show the love. Do good. Bless. Pray. Don't retaliate. Give. And forgive. Now, can you imagine what impact that might have on the enemies in our lives if we would do that? Can you imagine? What impact would it have if we would show the love to our spouse when they happen to be the enemy? Remember, they're not the enemy. What impact would it have? What impact would it have at work? What impact would it have at school? We'd show the love like Jesus is calling us to do that. What impact? It would have a kingdom impact. We'd have to stop seeing our enemy as our enemy and we start showing the love like He's calling us to do it. There's a guy named Patrick Green of San Antonio, Texas. And he had this reputation of being actively against believers, combating Christians. And at one point, Green, he's an atheist. He started to come out against the manger scene at the courthouse. And he was making a big stink about that, and he wanted it removed. In a local newspaper, he said, "My wife and I have never had a Christian do anything nice for us." Well, all that changed in March of 2012 when Green realized he has to have a surgery for a detached retina and he couldn't afford it. And he was a cab driver. And so he lost his income because he couldn't drive with a detached retina. And so there was a lady named Jessica Cryer who attended Sand Springs Baptist Church. She heard about Green's situation and she went and told her pastor, Eric Graham, and Eric calls Green and says, "How can we help?" Well, he was pretty skeptical and he's like, "Well, if you really want to help, we need groceries." And Green's kind of thinking, you know, $50, $100, yeah, that's what they'll send. $400 check comes in the mail. And it was just the first one until the need wasn't there anymore. Well, Green, he's like flabbergasted. This is what he said. "I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. These people are acting like what the Bible says a Christian should act like." And then he goes on and he says, "Instead of removing their manger display," he said, "I'm going to add my contribution of the star above the nativity." But he added, "You people have to figure out how to plug it in." So, you know, a little more love there might help him out. Show the love. That's just one example. Do good, bless, pray, don't retaliate, give, forgive to people who are actively against you. You know, if we would do that, stop seeing the enemy as our enemy, start showing the love, we might make some history as people enter the twilight zone with believers as we start following Christ the way He wants us to follow Him. Now, verses 31 to 34, the next directive, show the difference. I'd say just about everyone has heard of verse 31, the golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. And I'd say, you know, we hear that, maybe, you know, we've forgotten it or whatever, but it's familiar to us. Well, to the people Jesus was talking to, it was not familiar to them. It was different. In fact, it was pretty radical. What their rabbis taught them was, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. So it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to withhold the bad. I'm just not going to be mad at you. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to come against you. I'm going to just withhold that. And I'm not going to do, because I don't want you to do that to me. So it's this withholding, this passive withholding. Well, Jesus flips that upside down, turns it on its head. He makes it this proactive showing. Do to others what you want them to do to you. That was radical. I mean, he's starting a revolution here. This is amazing. And then he gives some contrast. If you love only those who love you, how is that different than sinners? If you do only good to those who do good back, how is that different? If you lend to only people who are going to give it back to you, sinners do that. Now, sinners in this case are people who don't believe in Christ, people who don't follow Him. Okay? So even though we know the golden rule, and lots of people know it inside and outside the church, everybody doesn't follow it, and especially we don't follow it the way Jesus is directing us to here. I mean, lots of people do good when there's an opportunity for good to come back. You know, if there's this reciprocity, it'll come back to me. If I do good here, there'll be something coming back to me. But Jesus is saying, no, no, you want to do good, you want to love, you want to bless, you want to pray, you want to give, you want to forgive, you want to do all of those things when there's no chance for payback. None. That's the difference. And that's the difference that makes a difference in people's lives. That ought to be front and center for those of us who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Because we know Him. Be our life. That's how we're called to be different. And He's calling us to do that. Be people who will do good to others regardless of what it will cost us and regardless of the person who needs the good done to them. See, there's something that has to happen for us to be able to do that. There's a secret to following this directive, and Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 9. We might get there in 2017, but you know, Luke chapter 9, He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow after me, right? And that's the definition of a disciple. That's called self-denial, denying self, dying to self, all of those things. It's dying to self. So when we're able to pay the price of self-interest and love people who won't love us back, then we're going to be doing exactly what Jesus has done for us. You see that? That's the difference. We haven't done anything. We didn't deserve it. He loved us, gave His life for us. That's it. That's how He wants us to live. So that's called dying to self. So a dead person can do good to anyone, can give to anyone, can love anyone, because they aren't expecting anything to come back to them. Now, don't get technical on me. I know dead people have a hard time doing good, loving people, and you don't, you know, you get what I'm saying. We trust ourselves to God. We trust ourselves to God. We say no to what we might want back. We say no to our judgment about someone and whether they deserve this or not. And we do it for the sake of Jesus and no other reason. There's a Bronx social worker, Julio Diaz, 31 years old. He was coming home one night and wanted to do what he always did, go to his favorite diner and have dinner. One thing stood in the way of him doing that, and when he got off the train, there was a mugger. So this mugger comes up to him, takes out a knife and says, "Give me your wallet." And Diaz is like, "This is not worth the fight." Hands a wallet to this teenager and he turns around and starts running away. Diaz decides to show him some different kind of love. And he yells out to him, "Hey, if you're going to be stealing all night, you ought to do it at least while you're warm. So come take my coat." Well, that mugger just like stopped. I mean, he was shocked. It's not normal. So he comes back to Diaz and he goes, "You obviously need some money here. Here, keep the wallet, take my coat, and if you want, I'll buy you dinner." So they go to the diner together. I mean, the kid was so shocked he couldn't say no. So they go to the diner and they sit down in the favorite diner of Julio's and where he always goes to have dinner. And he's talking to everybody, the dishwasher, the server, everybody knows him. And this teenager thinks he owns the place. And he says to him, "Didn't you be taught to be nice to people?" He's like, "Yeah, but I didn't think people actually lived that way." So they get done with dinner. It's time to pay. And Julio says to the teenager, "Hey, I need my wallet to pay for dinner." And so the kid hands it back without even thinking. And he pays for dinner. And then he gives him $20. And then he asks for the knife. And the kid hands it over. And then Julio goes home and tells his mom, you know, about the whole thing. And his mom says to him, "You know, you're the kind of person that if somebody asked for the time, you'd give him your watch." I thought, what a great example of the difference, you know. The difference this guy showed. This is how Jesus loves. You know, that mugger, "Here, take my coat too." That's not normal. People don't act like that. They're usually calling for help. And he's wanting to give. That's it. That's how Jesus loves us. Exactly that way. So 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." It's a different kind of love. When did he do that for us? When we didn't want anything to do with him. When we were against him. When we were running away. That's when he did it. So when we follow these directives, when we show the love, when we show the difference in that love, sacrifice ourselves, what we might want, what we might think about somebody, we'll be making history. We'll make history with these directives. Top-down stuff. All right, last one. Verses 35 to 36. Show the shine. All right, here, listen to it again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So Jesus repeats the first directive again. But love your enemies. Now, I really did say that. You know, He's repeating it. When the Bible says things over and over, God really wants us to hear that. So, but love your enemies. Do good. Give. So these are investments that we're making in heaven. It's not about this world. It's about our home. And so we're making investments there. And He says, when you do this, you're going to be living out your identity as a child of God. You will be sons of the Most High. Because He's kind to the great ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful like your Heavenly Father is merciful. That's the shine. Now you've heard this saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? You've heard that, yeah. Like father, like son, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, when we were born, our apple fell really far from the Heavenly Father's tree. But when we're born again, God starts rolling that apple back. And He starts working in us. He starts transforming us with His Word. He starts molding and shaping us through our suffering. He's teaching us how to obey. And as all that happens, we get rolled back to the tree and we start to shine. We start to look more like Him. We start to act more like Him. We start to show mercy and grace and goodness and kindness to all kinds of people in our life. It's not something we work at. It's something that the Spirit produces in us as we get changed to look like Him. That's the shine. So as we're faithful, He rolls us closer and closer to the tree. This whole thing that we're doing now, this whole follower, being a follower of Christ, it isn't about us. It's not even about others. It's about God. It's about Him and giving Him glory and showing Him, showing others who He is. These directives of showing the love, showing the difference that love makes in our lives. There's purpose beyond just doing them. You know, I'm pretty sure that for the most part, God gets a bad rap in our world. You know, when bad things happen, everybody blames Him. You know, and when good things happen, everybody forgets Him. And most of that comes from man's nature wanting to be their own God. You know, don't give me a God. I want to do what I want to. That's most of it. But then, you know, along come believers who forget about these directives, and we start acting like the world, and we provide supporting evidence for God's reputation that He has with those people. You know, so when we fight back with our enemies, you know, when we do that, when people can't see any difference in our behaviors in the world, when we love because there's something in it for us, even if that's just feeling good about ourselves, that's not showing the shine. All right? So we have these things that Jesus wants us to do, and they're difficult things. But we have to realize that they're not impossible. Because God has not left us alone to do them on our own. I'm not telling you today, take this home and do this. That's not the message that you need to hear today. What you need to hear today is, Jesus, fill me up with your Spirit and show me how to do this. Help me do this. That's how you live your Christian life. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us to help us do these things. And it's a life of power and it's a life of dependence on Him. And the thing is, we've got to realize that God's reputation is at stake in the world. Because not everybody knows Him, but a lot of people who know you, you know, what do they think of God? Because they know you. What kind of reputation is He getting based on what you're showing other people He is like? Is there goodness coming out of you? Is there kindness? Is there mercy? Is there the kind of thing that just shocks people, stops them in their tracks, and turns them around and go, why are you doing this? All these clothes are free. I got that reaction yesterday. It's different. That's gospel. There was a man who, he had no interest in spiritual things, wasn't a believer, and he lived next door to a Christian. And they had this relationship, you know, it's kind of this casual acquaintance in the backyard. They'd talk over the fence, they'd share tools, that kind of thing. Well, this man's wife, the non-Christian, she was stricken with cancer and she died 3 months later. And he was just heartbroken and he wrote a letter afterwards. And this is what he wrote in his letter. "I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. After the service, I went to the path along the river and walked all night. But I didn't walk alone. My neighbor, afraid for me, I guess, stayed with me all night. He didn't speak. He didn't even walk beside me. He just followed me all night. And then when the sun came up over the river, he came up and he said, 'Let's go get some breakfast.' And he says, 'I go to church now, my neighbor's church.' He said, 'A religion that can produce that kind of caring and love that my neighbor showed me, that's what I want to know about. I want to know how to love like that and be loved like that for the rest of my life.'" That guy was showing the shine. It's an example of that. And it's an example of the kind of history that can be made when we follow Jesus' directives. Is there anybody in your life today who's just spiritually crippled and they're lost? Is there anybody that you could follow what Jesus tells you to do in these verses? Show the kind of love that God shows us. So we reveal to them who He really is. Is there anybody like that in your life? I mean, from enemies to strangers to acquaintances to friends to family to spouses. Who is it God would call you to show this kind of kindness and goodness and love and mercy and grace? The kind that we have received. If it's an enemy, is it possible to see them not as the enemy? And ask the Lord to help you see them like He does. And then so when you see them, when you got their name, you know, what do you do? Well, you just walk with them. Just walk with them all night, if that's what it takes. And show them the love. Show them the difference. Show them your Heavenly Father. Show them. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to make history. You might even make the headlines. Let's have our worship team come back up. History-making directives. God's going to use them. Let's stand. And again, don't get all amped up to say, "I'm going to go do this." No. Get amped up to say, "I'm going to depend on God to do this through me." All right? He is all the grace that you need to accomplish that in your life today with whoever that is that's coming at you. So let's sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that You might reign over us. We hear these words of Jesus, these very clear instructions. And we can feel how difficult they are. Lord, we offer ourselves to You as we are today in our brokenness and our hurts and our anger and our fear, and pray that Your grace might come in and touch those places that we need to give to You. That things that we're hanging on to because we've been hurt, because we have an enemy. Lord, help us to trust our lives, our reputation, our material things into Your hands. And to go out and live a life that shows people how You love us. We're reminded today of who we were when You died for us on that cross. You reached down and You spoke our name. You lifted up our head. And we believed. We saw You in Your holiness die for us in our sinfulness. And now we're forgiven and free of that sin. Lord, restore to us the joy of our salvation and grant us a willing spirit today. And we might go out and teach people who you are and see them return to you. Holy Spirit, fill us today. Fill us with your power. Give us eyes to see people like you see them, not as our enemy, but as someone to love. Help us to pick up our cross today, dying to ourself, putting our interests behind us, putting others ahead of ours. Somewhere today, Lord, as we live this day, there'll be somebody who needs to see you shine through us. So we go out depending and trusting that you're going to lead us there and help us obey and make some history in the kingdom. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing, abundant love for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.